Hello, friends, and Happy New Year. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. I'm sorry for the delay, my friends. I was stuck in traffic, but I'm here in the studio. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics, astrologers, UFO people, and other interesting people in the world on our program, and I guarantee, my friends, it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you won't hear elsewhere. We are one of the top-rated radio talk shows in Seattle, and we are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. We have a wonderful guest on for our first hour, Emmanuel Eiter. Emmanuel, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here. It's funny because you said you were stuck in traffic, but now you made it safe. Well, now I am stuck in traffic. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm driving home. Home is in Santa Barbara, 2 hours in the north. I'm going to be in traffic at least for a good hour, which is perfect. This way we can do a beautiful interview and have a great conversation.
Well, forgive me for asking this, Emmanuel, but there's no traffic in Los Angeles, is there? You guys don't have traffic jams there, do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's so congested. I live in the Los Angeles area for the last 25 years, and I think for the last 3 to 5 years, it has become ridiculous. I mean, really. I used to be able to set up 3 to 4 meetings a day. Mm-hmm. Now I'm lucky if I can make 2 to 3.
Oh,
just
really?
Because it's unpredictable to go from point A to point B, how long it will take you. It's crazy. Really crazy.
Oh, sure.
But there are crazier things in life, so let's not worry about that.
I think, Emmanuel, I think in the future, what we'll have is that the cars will be pre-programmed. You'll set your destination. And during that time, wouldn't that be nice if they just took the hassle out of driving and let the car drive itself?
But, like in Star Trek, we get zapped from point A and point B, you know, de-molecularized and re-molecularized. That would be the best way. I'm honestly tired of driving.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've got a biography here. It's 20 pages long. Do you want me just to read that, and we can just use up the rest of the time?
I can make an introduction of myself. Basically, you know, I'm French. I mean, you can hear my silly accent.
Yes.
I can't hide that. France has been in the news all this week because we had a terrible shooting over there. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible way to start the new year, but at the same time, maybe it's a wake-up sign. So about me, basically, for the last 25 years in the U.S., I've been mixing journalism. I still interview movie stars. I was interviewing this morning Jennifer Lopez for a big website and a TV show that I've done in France. I also buy movies for distribution, and I direct produce. The directing and producing is a mix of type of film. You've got on one side the dumb, crazy, stupid commercial movie that you see late night on Sci-Fi Channel. And then you have a line of very conscience-driven, very humanitarian-driven documentaries, part of a collection that I call the Universalist Collection. And we did 2 movies with my partner Sharon Stone, the actress and the activist Sharon Stone. We did 1 movie called The Invocation, which is an exploration of the notion of oneness around the world with people like Deepak Chopra, the Dalai Lama, Desmond Tutu. Sean Stone did the narration. And then lately, I released, and it's still being in release because actually I'm on my way to Washington, D.C. to show it next January 21st. I finished a movie called Femme, Women Healing the World. And it's really a study about the unbalance and rebalance that we need to do between feminine and masculine energies. Because if we really look at the deep, deep core of what's going on with our planet, we should realize that we've been the victim of this ultra-patriarchal, macho, dominant killing system that has really enslaved the mind and shows us the wrong way to deal with each other. So that's what I do. You know, I do big canvas type of movies that are really wrangling with big issues and big questions.
Well, I just, on behalf of myself and all my listeners around the world, I just want to thank you so much for your wonderful work, Emmanuel, especially both of those movies sound just fascinating. We may hold you over, if that's okay, a little bit past the top of the hour to make up for lost time today, if that's okay. The first movie I wanted to talk about was called The Invocation. You have some amazing people there. Deepak Chopra, he's coming on my show probably next month in February, listeners, so please stay tuned for that. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Oliver Stone, the Dalai Lama, John Halen, Stuart Copeland, Will Arndt. He'll be coming on. Will Arndt.
We did What the Bleep.
Yeah, but the Bleep. Yeah, he'll be coming on my show in the next month. Mark Wahlberg, Dave Stewart, Irvin Laszlo. I've contacted him about coming on my show. Michael Beckwith and Rosaria Dawson. Did you also have Dr. Masaru Emoto on your movie as well?
Yeah. Sadly, we have our dear Dr. Emoto who passed away last October, and I went to film him in Japan, in Tokyo, which is really probably my favorite city in the world, because for me, Japan and Tokyo is the only place where you can really feel totally in peace. It's amazing how people are so respectful of each other and helping, especially when you're a foreigner. So it was a joy to go film Dr. Emoto over there and listening to his theories and interesting theories. And we put some of them in that movie that you just mentioned, The Invocation. And The Invocation is actually released for the first time in the U.S. On January 20th on a website called FM, F like Frank, M mother, fmtv.com. So starting January 20th, you'll be able to see it on fmtv.com. And it's been released before that in many countries, all over Latin America, part of Europe. And indeed, it's a fascinating, hopefully inspiring, and transformative movie who, like the What the Bleep type of movie or Secret, is dealing with trying to understand us better, you know, beyond our religion, beyond our illusion of differences, what really unites us. And quantum physics shows us that we are but one big ensemble. So I think it's about time to realize that we have to be more responsible for each other, more caring, more nurturing. And it's not about me, myself, and I, but it's about we, the people of planet Earth and the Earth.
What a beautiful thing to say. Just to back up a little bit for your earlier comment, I have to tell you the Japanese people are some of the best and sweetest people I've ever known. And the times that I've been in Japan have always been wonderful times. I'm actually going to Tokyo in May for a Hado training session for about a week. But what you said earlier about that we are all one, indeed we are all one, there was something important that I think as this planet evolves, Emmanuel, we will realize that more and more. And it's not about our own selfish pursuits of our own individual lives, but it's for humanity as a whole that really counts.
Absolutely, you know, I mean, the drama is that we've been formatted and educated to believe that me, myself, and I are the center of the universe, and we need to overtake each other, and we are the best one, and it's horrible because it's creating such a complex of Superman with illusions of grandeur and grandiosity, when really, actually, we are so dependent of each other. And I'm convinced that there are no one single idiot on planet Earth. We have 7 billion geniuses. And when we're going to really play the puzzle game of putting together all these geniuses in contact with each other and allowing each other to present and introduce a fresh, brand new idea, then we're going to start with solving, you know, cure for cancer, Alzheimer's, poverty, pandemics, and all that, because everybody has a great idea buried down itself or herself. It's just that we are told we are an idiot when we're not, and we are told we have to follow when we're not. We're all leaders. We're all messiahs. So it's time to really see that oneness, definitely an act of it, become peace in action. Don't just pray and think about it, but just really run for office. I always say run for office, and what does that mean? I mean get involved. You have solutions for everything. So just move your butt and save the world because you can.
I'm a psychic. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, over 21 years. And I have to tell you that the messages that I get from the spirit world in the fifth dimension all say the same thing, what you're saying now, that we are all one. On the other side, we are all one. And I think that we're all part of this universal consciousness for the planet. And that's the beautiful thing about your film. And I'm urging everyone out there to do please listen to and watch The Invocation. It's a wonderful film. And you've done humanity a great service, Emmanuel, by producing this wonderful, movie.
Thank you. You know, I always say, you know, I've been lucky to have become of service for something greater than myself, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. That it's really giving a meaning to my silliness, and it's really using my skills as a filmmaker to hopefully make better movies than the mediocre little piece of crap that I've been doing in the past. So. So I'm very happy, and right now we are working on 5 movies. We shot one's going to be a study of economics and politics. Another one's going to be on an exploration of study of the notion of violence, war, and the military. Another one is about the animal kingdom and the relationship with the human animal that we are. Another one is on medicine, health, and nutrition. And the last one is on sports, but sports through the 4 elements of earth, wind, fire, and water, because every sport has a relationship with, again, oneness and the elements.
Fascinating. Just fascinating work. I know that, you know, you talk about thought. People should realize that thoughts are things. And when you think of something, it always predicates. It's always the predecessor before an action.
Absolutely. And it's really important to, you know, realize that I think, therefore I am, like the old Descartes French philosopher was saying.
Right.
So we need today to complete the sentence and say, therefore I do. And that's very important. So if I think, therefore I am, therefore I do. And we need to be in the doing right now. We cannot be just in the thinking, in the praying, the meditating. That's nice, it's cool, it's necessary, but it's not enough. You know, to save the world, we have to act.
Sure, sure. And, you know, what you say extends to so many facets of human existence. For example, I mentioned Dr. Emoto earlier, who passed away tragically in October. His research, for people who are not familiar with his research, with the Emoto Peace Project, but what his research showed is that people's thoughts do affect our reality. People's thoughts, for example, in the fifth dimension affect our reality in the third dimension. For example, he took 2 glasses of water, and he would have people direct positive loving thoughts to love and gratitude to 1 glass of water. And on the molecular level, Emmanuel, of that glass of water, the water formed these beautiful water crystals. If you took another glass of water and had people direct thoughts of anger, and hate to the second glass, the molecular structure of the water at the molecular level was disjointed, looked awful. So thought is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's why the power of positivity will always take it on the power of negativity. And that indeed we see it even with cancer patients. The one who survive or have a higher chance to survive are the one who are keeping a positive, smiling attitude versus, you know, being all tied up and all depressed and all negative, because indeed that energy just consumes you and eventually destroys you. So I agree. I mean, and it's not easy to be positive. It's not easy to smile at life. I mean, it's tough out there. It's tough economically. It's tough socially. Life is not a fun ride, but I think it could become a funnier ride if we all work harder on ourselves and with each other, because it's a work that has to happen at the same time. At the time that you work on yourself, you have to work with each other, and the reason is because each other nourishes you. You know, it's really like playing a game of mental ping pong. When you start to engage in a conversation with any human being, it's amazing how whatever thoughts they're going to send back to you or words are going to stimulate you and create beautiful thoughts combined. So that's why we need to keep going that flow of energy, because that's all we are. We are energy. You know, Einstein said a beautiful saying. He said, you know, nothing is created, nothing is destroyed, everything is transformed. And that's what we are. We are energy in perpetual transformation and evolution. And that's what creates that. That's what exists. That's what God is, that notion of divine unity and divine grand ensemble.
You know, Emmanuel, you know how I know you are on the right track and you're doing really wonderful work?
Please.
Well, in the last couple of minutes while you were speaking, this entire studio lit up in a bright white light. The sun. I'm serious.
That's my mad French energy. You know, I'm kind of a holy punk. There's a very high spiritual individual, and there's a mad animal. But it's a kind mad animal. You know, I'm an Aries, so you know we are beautiful creatures, a little bit crazy, a little bit you know forced in a way, but in a beautiful positive way, in a beautiful, very embracing and united way, not in a destructive, selfish way.
Well, often the spirits on the other side will let me know when one of my guests says something very profound, and you just did. So thank you. Keep up the good work. They're reconfirming that now in the studio with this white light everywhere.
Cool. I'm so appreciative of the beyond world. You know, sooner than later, I'm going to belong to the beyond world. So might as well embrace them and kiss them now when I'm alive. And say, hey, guys, don't wait. When I get there, trust me, I'm going to do a lot of, you know, slapping around and count on me to kick the ass of the universe and make it work better.
Well, Emmanuel, you talked about your second film called Femme, about women healing the world and balancing the feminine and masculine energies. Wow, what an important movie you produced.
And what's interesting is that movie came really organically from doing the first one. I mean, first two. To go back in time a little bit, Invocation came as I was driving to another silly meeting, pitching another silly action horror movie that I was trying to put together to Los Angeles. And suddenly, I don't know, I boil, I look up, and I swear at the universe. I basically say, screw yourself, the universe, you know. Meaning I was very frustrated with myself, obviously, not being good enough. And that's how really the Invocation came together. You know, I had that sensation. I had to exercise this frustration within and therefore study more how we are so interconnected and interdependent. And by doing that, I had the instinct, and also because I had seen so many of these spiritual movies that are so macho-oriented and have the Dalai Lama and the Michael Begley, but don't have women. So I went out and I really tried to interview women. And we have a beautiful priest called Jean-Pierre Pouchot. We have the great writer Karen Armstrong. And when I did go and interview all these women, the answers were so more profound and so innovative compared to what any of these guys would tell me. I thought, wow, well, this is where the cure is, you know, in terms of understanding better that energy we castrated, that feminine energy we castrated, not only in the physical world, because if we look at it, for the last 3,000 years, we had pushed women out of our temple, out of the realm of politics and economics and everything. Now they're back, thank God, you know, they are rebelling in the good sense of the term. But also we have killed us guys, the feminine within us.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Emmanuel. I've been to psychic events before. I'm a psychic myself, and I went to an event back in October. I had James von Prague on my show here in October, and later he had he gave a lecture at a local church here in Seattle. And I looked around. It was very interesting, Emmanuel. I walked into the auditorium, and the percentage of women in the crowd were about 80%. There were men there, too, about 20%, but most of the people there were women. And often I have women come up to me for psychic readings, and they say that their husband, for example, or their partner, male partner, just doesn't get it. They think, for example, sometimes she's wacky, she's nuts, she believes in spirits and angelic values. And I said, well, sometimes it just takes people longer to catch up. You know, I think we men are catching up. I'm a man, and I believe in the other side. And of course, I come from a psychic family, and my foster mother, dear sweet Terry, trained me in how to contact the spirits. So I'm a little different. I'm out of not in the mold exactly. But I think men will come around. Certainly, I have to tell you this story. During the 19th century, when the U.S. was going into different across the West, when they approached a new Native American tribe, they would always ask for the chief, the male chief. Well, what's interesting is that most Native American tribes in the United States were matrilineal. In other words, they based lineage through the female line of the family. And as far as if they wanted to talk to somebody who was the head of the tribe, basically it was usually somebody female, not male. But the military, the U.S. government would always ask for a chief, a male figure, and this whole thing was curated. It was ethnocentric of the government at the time to say, "Where's your chief?" And this whole headdress thing, I think, was a lot of Hollywood creation. But but it's just it's funny. And well, tell me more about your movie. I watched the trailer, and I know.
Well, basically, we've been in 25 countries, and we've been trying to build a beautiful movie that is not only for women, but even more probably for men, because I think that any man that watch Fame is going to be really reintroduced to his own femininity, and he's going to understand that, no, it's not created to kill. He's created to love as well. Mm-hmm. And that's very important, because I think from the get-go as a little boy, we guys suffer a big, big burden, a big castration, because we have been told, you cannot whine, you cannot cry, you cannot fear, you're the man, you're the god, go take and kill. And that has stopped, that educative process has to stop. You know, I've got three boys, 9, 2, and 6 months. And mm-hmm. when they cry, I don't tell them, I don't slap them and tell them, oh, shut up, don't be a sissy. I sit down and I say, what's going on, dude? You know, let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Tell me what you feel. Tell me what you feel. That's the thing, is we have removed feelings from men. And that's why the men in charge today still are these really castrating monster pigs who don't know how to act differently. And so they lead the conduct wars, they take over, corporation take over, and on and on and on. And mm-hmm. there's a perpetration of crime toward humanity because of that. Mm-hmm. So that has to change, and it will change indeed by having more and more men like you and I educating differently your boys and telling mm-hmm. them, no, you worry, everything will be fine as long as you take care of your fellow men and women, as long as you're maturing, as long as you're perfect.
Emmanuel?
You have to dominate. Yes.
Emmanuel, with all due respect, my friend, I was just notified that not to use that word again, if you can.
Oh, okay.
It's a no-no on my station. Thank you. Thank you.
The French in me. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. No. Merci beaucoup.
Yes.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, but anyway, the movie is about that. It's really a study of that notion of oneness through the balance and the complementarity of mm-hmm. feminine and masculine energy. And I think it's a beautiful movie that when you watch it, and by the way, you can watch it because it's released all over the internet, so you can find it on Amazon, iTunes, also through our website, which is called femme, the movie.com. We have a Facebook page as well. And I really invite everybody to watch it, you know, for very little, few dollars, you're really going to be inspired and transformed. And I think something will wake up in you that makes you want to act more and be better involved with the rest of that great humanity that we are. And humanity that's going to, I think, indeed, as you said, become one more one. Because once we realize the way we have conducted life with each other in the city and only leads to destruction and death, then the only other option is to finally, you know, lower the guard, drop the weapon, and just kiss each other and walk in peace.
I often get in discussions with people I know, Emmanuel, about what's the true nature of humanity. And some people who are discouraged about people say, no, the true nature of humanity is negative and self-centered. And I often end up with arguments with them. I think everyone's entitled to their beliefs, certainly. But I think the inherent nature of humanity is positiveness, and the desire to make this planet a better place. And that's what the purpose of my radio show is actually, to raise consciousness and make this planet a much better place than it is. And I couldn't agree with you more, Emmanuel, for your wonderful work, you know, in helping to do that.
There's something to advise people to do, you know. If you are bad cynical and bad depressed, and I understand where it's coming from, because indeed it's very easy to feel depressed and cynical and really negative, just dare to find somebody who was a young child, a young baby that was just born, and look into his eyes or her eyes, and all you'll see is pure love, is pure magic, is pure mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. There is not one trace of hell and negativity in us when we are born. That comes later. That comes because somebody is putting that in your mind, in your soul. And that has to stop. We cannot contaminate and spread negativity and health for what? It doesn't serve humanity. You know, humanity needs love. That's all it needs. And if you have that, if you find enough love in you, you are indestructible. You are immortal. You create life. So that's my little advice, you know. When you're too depressed, look into the eyes of a child. You're going to find back the love within yourself. That's very, that's there.
Emmanuel, I know you have 5 movies going on, and you're producing, working on currently, and one of them that caught my eye was the healthy nutrition one, and I wanted to just make a quick comment. I'd love to ask you about it. I'm in contact with the Galactic Alliance, which is a group of 435 million planets comprising of approximately 7 trillion individuals, mostly human, all benevolent, who have been working behind the scenes to help humanity and raise our consciousness. And one of the things that I've been told from them, actually, is that as we spiritually evolve on this planet, we should live much longer. They've told me that on a typical human planet else in this galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, human civilizations typically live an average of the average lifespan for a human is 1,000 years. Versus our 80, 70 years, whatever. But to get to that point, and they have full consciousness. They use their brains 100%. Einstein said that we only used, 8 to 10% of our brain? But if we used...
Pretty much.
Yeah, if we used 100% of our brain, we're spiritually advanced, we would live an average of about 1,000 years. Now, I know from my... from my information about the Pleiades constellation, they say that we're actually seeded from them as well as some other races, but they look just like us, basically. And they live an average of about 1,000 to 1,200 years. A 300-year-old Pleiadian woman would look about 30 years old in terms of Earth years on this planet. And they look just like us. If they were walking along the street, they may be a little taller, a little bit longer earlobes, but you couldn't tell the difference because they're human. I mean, humans live everywhere, lots of places in the universe. But going back to your healthy nutrition movie, I just wanted to tell you that what you're doing in terms of spiritual work and raising the consciousness of humanity will also have a very beneficial effect in terms of diseases and people's longevity.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do with all of this picture, whether it's the nutritional one it's really to raise that consciousness, because I agree with you, beware. Focus on trying to understand better the way our brain or mind works and really using that at a higher level of capacity, for sure we will solve a lot of issues in terms of health, in terms of longevity. And then obviously, if we do that, then we have to figure out how do we manage differently our time, because time obviously becomes much more elastic and longer, so you have to have a different plan of life. You know, but I'm sure we can adapt and we can evolve. I'm a fool on the long term, you know. The short term and middle term is tough because we're in a transition. We are definitely in shifting times, and it's not easy. It's like basically a young kid who's coming. We are like teenagers right now. That's really where we are. We are 12 or 13 years old. And so when you are 12 or 13, a lot of inner boiling, questioning, doubt, comes, and sometimes you overreact or you underreact. It's exactly what's going on with our planet. Our civilization is just 12, is at the age of a 12, 13-year-old emotional being. But we're going to pass that. We're going to grow up and become an older teenager and eventually an adult. Just perfect time, maybe a decade or two, but I think it's going there, you know, little by little, and especially with programs like yours or documentaries like mine or books like Spark or the great people, that nourishes, that helps, that participates to the mental growth.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, there's 2 things I want to mention quickly. And the first is that there was an angelically created entity from the Galactic Alliance called Valiant Thor, who visited with President Eisenhower and lived actually in an apartment at the Pentagon, believe it or not, from 1957 to 1960. And when he came to this planet and introduced himself to Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, he offered Eisenhower and Nixon assistance in in eliminating disease and poverty on planet Earth in exchange and in exchange for eliminating our weapons. And because he said that you didn't need them. And Eisenhower was in favor of it, I'm told, but Nixon was against it. And so were the Joint Chiefs of Staff, but for different reasons. Nixon was against it because he said all of his friends in the pharmaceutical industry and the medical profession would lose their jobs, which they probably would, but they could do other things. And the military was against, the Joint Chiefs were against it because they said that there were no, they wouldn't give them any weapons. But I think the reason I say that is I think that our path for the future is a much better planet where we will truly have a golden age where poverty, disease, and the kind of problems we have now will be eliminated. There were several predictions actually by Nostradamus back in the 15th, yeah, I think it was the 15th century in France. And he said, beginning in the 2030s to 2040s, that humanity on this planet would eventually enter into a golden age, 1,000 years of spiritual peace and prosperity. After which we would humanity would become a spacefaring species where we would go out and explore the universe just like on Star Trek, and the work that you're doing, Emmanuel, in your movies, and also I'm trying to do this on my radio show, is to raise consciousness in preparation for that evolution, because I think it's already underway now.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you, and what's very very important is to realize how we are all complementary. That work, meaning it's not you leading or I or Deepak. We are all together helping each other, nourishing each other, and bringing a global vision about transformation, because it is about that. It is about realizing you don't need the weapons. Weapons don't create jobs. Weapons kill jobs because they kill consumers. And we cannot afford that spiritually, obviously, but even physically, economically. It doesn't make sense to be the ship in a business that kills your consumer market. You know, so we have to transform. It's not about getting rid of, you know, being stubborn and trying to pass laws to limit guns. It's about making realize people indeed you don't need them. A gun is made to kill, not made to make love.
Emmanuel,
and what you need is to make love. That's what.
Sure. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, since we started late, we're going for a news and traffic break in about 60 seconds. Could I hold you over for a few minutes past the top of the hour?
Absolutely. I'm still in traffic anyway. I'm going nowhere.
All right. Great. Well, we'll give you a few extra minutes because I want to give you some last comments. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM. Next hour, we'll be talking to David Sirita, a famous Canadian filmmaker and author and musician, writer and actor. He lives in British Columbia, Canada, and should be a fascinating, really an interesting interview. I wanted to remind everyone, I'm having a Galactic Wisdom Conference, March 6, 7, and 8 in Gig Harbor, Washington. The cost is only $197 for 3 days or $97 a day. There's also a discount rate if you're a student. But please hold on for our next guest. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And Manuel, please hold on, my friend.